Hi, we here at the North American Christians in Social Work want to thank you for selecting this continuing education course. We appreciate your interest in pursuing ongoing trainings sensitive to the thoughtful integration of faith, social work practice, and spirituality. We hope that this training meets or exceeds your expectations and is useful to you. If you have any questions during or after the training, please don't hesitate to contact us at info@nacsw.org. Thanks again and enjoy the training.
How many of you ever heard of family service?
Really?
Have heard of it. How many have you ever heard of family service? I got one name. That's good. I can't get no names. My initial introduction to family service was many years ago. While in the Army, one of my many assignments was as a behavioral science coordinator with a kind of family practice residency program. And basically what my job was to teach physicians how to engage families. And actually that's where I learned about family service. Family physicians, they were taught to do it, and many of them are taught to do it. Interesting, in social work, we don't do it. As a matter of fact, I've done a number of literature searches, and I've had students do literature searches. Go find me an article on family service. And there are two articles on family service. Two. One in 1983 and one in 2004. That is the only thing that's ever been written about family service. So today, you're not going to write an article about family service. Okay? So don't think I'm trying to get you to write an article. But what you're actually going to do by the end of this day, you're going to do a family service. You're going to do your family service. Every class that I teach, this is a class that you can't teach just by seeing, by hearing it. You got to actually do it. A few minutes ago, we had a phenomenal class in terms of doing family sculpting, in terms of doing body sculpting. And in order to understand sculpting, you can't just talk about it, you got to do it in order to understand it. Family circles are the same way. I'm going to go quick. I think my PAO, the individual who's responsible for anything that goes out in print, goes ahead and make sure I put that back. So you know that I'm not speaking towards the military. Okay? That's what the disclaimer is. Your public affairs officer in the military has to approve everything that you do during the affiliated with the Army. The basis of family service. Number one basis for actually understanding why we need to know how to do family circles and why I even teach it is that we need to make sure that we have conflict social work about that we want to assess, engage, and intervene with families. And the other thing is that, like Murray Bowen said, whether we want to or not, family is with us everywhere we go. And I typically tell the students when I'm talking to them, as I'm talking to you right now, my family is with me. You don't see them, but they're right behind me. For instance, you don't see my grandfather over here. He's a little tipsy. He has a little drinking problem, but he's a good drunk. I mean, everybody loves him in the community. And you don't see my grandmother over here. I apologize for all the things that he's done. But you know one of the things they taught me? I always put on your good face. So when I go out in public, I have to make sure I'm dressed appropriately. I have to make sure I speak the right way. And you don't see my mother over here who's telling me, go make something of yourself, go to school, stay in school, don't do like these other people, be the very best person you possibly can. And when I got my doctorate degree, she got everybody in the whole town together, and we celebrated my PhD, including my babysitter who watched me when I was a little kid, my football coach who cheered me on when I got my football scholarship. I mean, she had them all, and they were all congratulating me. Remind me, you represent everywhere you go. You don't see those people behind me. What the family circle allows you to do is to be able, so the individual can see all those faces and all those people. But it's not just people. It's beliefs. It's organization. It's values. It's everything that comes a part of the family. That's what the family circle allows you to do. Bowen said, when he said that family is with us everywhere we go, you don't need to have your whole family there to do the work. You just need to recognize. And family circles allow us to be recognized. The other basic reason for doing this is that, you know, whether we want to or not, we were created. We were created to connect. Biblically, when you look at the Bible, I mean, biblically speaking, Matthew 25, it talks about that. I mean, it says, in terms of when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. The fact is that God created us with the expectation that you will connect. Not, and when he gives you an eating, when he gives you a requirement, he gives you the capability. And family circles are designed to recognize that. We cannot connect. I can put you on a desert island, that's all sleep. I can put you on a desert island, and you'll find a coconut. And there might have been a basketball that swept up on the and you'll call it Wilson, you'll give it a name, and you'll connect with that, and that'll be your family. Because we can't help but to do that. And God knew, know that, and that's why that recommendation today. Last night, I was leaving. I went to dinner with a friend of mine, and on my way back, I ran into this guy. I don't know who he was. I mean, he was down on his luck. And he came up to me, and he said, "All I need, true story, all I need is $2. If you can go with me over here to get something to eat, I got $2, and I want this sandwich. For $4. And all I have is $2. And everything inside of me said, this is scary. I'm out here by myself. I don't know who this person is, what he's going to. And I don't know what he's going to do with this money. Maybe I should go with him. I said, no, I'll just trust him. I'm going to give him the $2. He can go get him something. And this guy was really drunk. He wouldn't say, give me $2. Say, I mean, you know, give me what you can. I just need something to eat. I mean, so there was something inside of me that connected with that person. I mean, I just couldn't walk away and not do nothing. I couldn't do that. There was something inside of me that wouldn't allow me to do that. I was created to connect with even that individual. Because the least of my little, the least of these, and he was the least of those last night for me. I had to do something. And something for myself is gold, but I don't think so. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. You notice my soldier picture. It's not uncommon. We were created to connect. It's expected that we'll be able to do this. Family circles are based upon the belief that we connect. And so when you do it, it's going to change the way you see your family this day and in the future. Family circle, what it is? It's something that's it's a brief graphic method of being able to look where you see your family, how you perceive it, not how my cousin perceives it, not how my wife perceives it, how I perceive it. And the other thing is that, you know, it's different. In the last class, I think it was Joseph who was in it, he asked the question, how is it different from genograms and echo maps? It's a sociogram. And if you're familiar with Joseph Moreno's and a sociogram, I mean, it's very subjective. And it's something that is dynamic. It's not static. So if I gave you a family, if you do your family circle today, trust me, you will never do that family circle again the way you did today. Because as you do it, you're going to, first of all, you're going to see, you're going to do it, and then you're going to step back, and you're going to say, oh man, I forgot about this person. But you're not going to think who you forgot about until you see other people talking about their family circle. It's a brief graphic picture of being able to, way of gathering information, being able to assess that family as well. This is not a projective drone. It's not necessarily designed to uncover unconscious material, but it does do that. When you have someone do a family circle, family circles, do not allow them to use the computer to draw family circles. Because when you do that, the focus is on being perfect, making sure the circles are precise. They're not supposed to be precise. Families aren't precise. When they draw circles, you'll see some people, they'll have circles. Some circles will be very small. Some circles will be very large. They won't even recognize it until they've done it. And then they stand back, and then you start asking them questions about it. And then they say, well, no, it really doesn't mean anything. But now that I think about it. So the unconscious does come out when we draw. That's just how we're created. So, but it's briefly done, so we can gather information. And as you're doing it, you're going to learn from it. And the person who's asking you questions is going to learn as well. And I use this with all of our classes. Every student that has gone through our program has learned about family service. And I can tell you that it's very revealing for them. And it takes a while to be able to do it. So today what we're not going to do, you're going to do your family service, but you're not going to report your family service. And so I only feel like, okay, I'm going to have to do it. But with the students, every student, they do family service, and they actually come before the class, and they present their family service. And some of you might say, Dr. Freeman, you're too hard on these people. I always tell them, you can't teach what you don't know, and you can't lead where you won't go. And what I want them to be able to experience is the anxiety of what it feels like for the family to be able to reveal themselves to each other. Can I explain that? You know, it's one thing for you to show your family circle to somebody who knows nothing about you. But can you imagine what it feels like to show the family circle to someone who knows you? And if you can imagine your husband, your wife, your children, or whatever, being in the audience when you're talking about, this is my family. And then they start and allow. We don't speak that open to each other. Family circle allows the family to be able to do that, to be transparent with each other in terms of improving that communication. My second point was that it's a sociogram. It's based on my sociograms that Joseph Moreno identified. But unlike the genogram, which is really a way to be able to look at patterns within a family, to be able to look at, to gather demographic data, and so that you can be able to see the family in one swoop. You can look at three generations or more. And that's what genograms are really designed to do. I mean, it's a great way, great tool for the family to see how things pass from one generation to the other. Family circles are online. It's a day to give you a snapshot in terms of where you see the family at this point in time. And it's not an echo map. Echo maps looks at systems, external systems, connections between individuals and family, connections with external systems, and exchange of energy. The circle is really focused on incorporating family systems concept, looking at family structure. I'm talking about the family structure, subsystems within a family. The individual actually draws out the substance, but not even aware that they've done so. And then you can, and as people have done them, you step back and you look at them, and you can see how people group with each other. The other thing that it allows you to do, looks at dyads. It's identified dyads. And sometimes the dyad within a family aren't the dyad that you would expect for them. It allows you to be able to look at triangles. And triangles aren't always with individuals. Sometimes the triangles are with our professions, our jobs, our organizations that we get involved with. You know, that somebody in here is concerned because they left home and they had some issues back home that they didn't deal with. And the family's like, how in the world can you leave here going to some conference of these people that you don't know and you're not taking care of this stuff? And at that point, NACSM becomes a part of the family. And not a welcome part for some people, but for you, it might be a way out for them. So it becomes a part of your family. So in that case, it becomes a triangle for within some families. So the family circle allows you to bring that in into your family as well. And boundaries. It clearly looks at boundaries within families as well. It starts with boundaries. When you start out doing your family circle, you're going to start out with a big circle that represents boundaries. And I'll get a little bit more into that. So, but it looks at that and allows you to identify whether your boundaries are open, closed, flexible, rigid. I mean, you'd be amazed into what you'll be able to get from doing family circles. But in terms of looking at family systems theory, it allows you to be able to bring it along. Three to five minutes. All of you will have a blank sheet of paper, and I'll say, okay, you'll have 3 minutes at this point to begin constructing your family circle. And I'll explain to you how the process works. It's designed to be able to show one, an individual's perception of what they see their family as being like. It allows you to be able to look at the family from three different perspectives, though. Present, past, and future. Now, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, if we're looking at it, I'm going to show you a video, too, where actually I demonstrate administering the family circle somewhere, so you can actually see how it all comes together. And, you know, we're going to be talking when we do it. I'm going to let you see my family circle, and you can ask me questions, okay? You can ask me questions about the family, in terms of what was my family circle like when I was a kid growing up, how was it different from the way it is now? Because it does change. If in terms of and currently, can you explain to me what your family circle is like now? And so it allows you to look at it now. And then it allows you to be able to say, if you could change anything about your circle, what would you want to change? So in the future, recognize that in order to make that happen, in order to make that change happen, what else would we need to change in order for you to do that? And that's the one in terms of sculpting. It looks just like sculpting when you do that. But you're actually doing it with that. With a pictorial diagram as for letting people see. You can experiment with relationships within your family circle. As you draw your family circles out, you will recognize that there may be certain people who are more distant from each other than you would like for them to be. And you can talk about the impact of those individuals being separate. How would it impact your circle if we draw those people together? You can talk about phenomena. Bad things happen in every family. What impact did it have on the family? Oftentimes when soldiers go off to deployments, what impact did that have on your family circle? When that individual returned, what impact did that have on your circle? As for a time, you know, over a period of time, we just talked about time in terms of looking at the difference between past, present, and future, looking at your family circle. In terms of constructing it, this is the procedure. All of you have a handout in front of you. Now, the reason I gave you that handout is because I talk fast sometimes, and he said all that stuff. Everything is right. They talk to you, walk you right. It gives you a step, an easy one pager to be able to administer the family circle, so you'll understand. It talks about the importance of explaining the purpose of it. And if I sit down with you and I say, well, you know what I like to do? Leslie, what I like for you to do, I like to draw a picture. Like you draw a picture, a circle. We call it a family circle. That'll help me to see the way you see your family. Now, when we talk about family, we're not just talking about people. It could be organizations that are important to you. It could be beliefs. It could be anything that you see as a part that has become a part of your family. That you really care about. That will be in your circle. Now, when you start out your circle, we'll always start with a big boundary, big circle that represents the boundary. Now, you know, like every family, there's in that family circle, there'll be people outside of the circle, there'll be people inside of the circle, because the people outside of the people you might consider legally part of my family, but, I mean, they're really not in my inner circle. Does that make sense, Jonathan? Okay. So now, what we like to do is we first of all start with the circle. Okay? And that's all I do. Now, some of you are saying, that's not enough information. I need more. the more information you give, the more you're guiding and directing the service that you don't want to do. Now, I'll ask you, do you have any questions? And you say, yes, no, I don't. Now, I want you to understand that these could be individuals who are alive, they could be individuals who have been passed on, but they may be considered part of your service. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As we're doing it, it'll come clear. So my last bullet, now let's begin. Draw a circle. Everybody has your blank sheet of paper.
I have some good ones. We ran out of blank paper.
Oh, really?
We ran out of evaluation forms.
If you don't have a handout, maybe we can start a sign-up sheet. I can send this information electronically for the people. Also,
okay, just send somebody has an extra handout.
Now, I explained it to Leslie. Does anyone else have a question in terms of what you're doing? All I want you to do is draw a big circle first. Don't fill in anything. Draw a big circle first. Okay? You're like working again.
Does anybody need a blank sheet of paper now? I have a sheet of paper that has one side blank. Yes. I can give you the same. Anybody can say that? Anybody else need the blank paper? Did you need one?
No. Scratch it, but it's not a good idea.
Once you've drawn your circle, make sure you draw another small circle inside of that, and that circle is you. Because some people do a family circle and they put everybody in the circle. So the big circle is not you, the big circle is your family. Okay? Now, within the circle, I want you to draw all the people, things, organizations, could be animals, anything that you would consider family to you. Now, they could be inside the circle, they could be on the board as you see there, but make sure you also label them or put a name or something on there so you'll know who those individuals, what those circles stand for. Question?
Can anything be outside the circle?
And when we're talking outside the circle, you know when we talk, that's part of my inner circle. It may be someone who's part of the family, but they're definitely not my inner circle. And believe you me, if I could stretch this paper out, I'd put them way out there. And there's some of those people like me. Now you'll have 3 minutes to do your entire family circle. Did you have enough time to do it? So those of us who want to do something like this, we've got to really think this through. This is not something that I want you to think through that much. Think, do it quickly. It's a snapshot of how you experience it. You'll have time and opportunity to grow on. Now, if we were casually doing it at this point, now that you've done that, you would present. If this were a family meeting, you would present your family circle, and each individual would do that. But before you do it, I'll have to explain to you the rules of engagement. I'll have to explain to you that as you're presenting yours, those who may have questions, we don't challenge the individual in terms of their perspective, That's how they see the family. It's okay. What we want to be able to do is we just want to learn more about what their perspective really means. So you may ask some clarifying questions. There are certain things about the circle you may not understand. And then you may ask them to point out certain individuals or certain circles that they have in there, and kind of explain that. And you may have questions in terms of how they have drawn it, and ask them to explain it. We call those clarifying questions. Those are perfectly okay. As a matter of fact, we welcome them. And as facilitators of this project, my role is to be able to ensure that that is an appropriate question and not an impounded question. That is a clarifying question. So I will, if it is a question that that's not clarifying, I will help you to rephrase it to make it a clarifying question. Now, I do that with the family, and I teach that to students because what I'm preparing them to do is that the next thing they're going to be doing is going on an interview in family for their family interview. They have an assignment to interview families, and I teach them to prepare them to know how to do that. And one of the things that what I have found over the years is that you have to create an environment so that the family feels safe to be able to reveal themselves. And what I become is I become part of I become someone that creates structure within the family. And that person feels safer in terms of doing it. And actually, when they present, I usually take a seat right over there next to them. And if it's a question that is not a clarifying question, I say, well, before you answer that, let's see if we can rephrase that question to make it a clarifying question. And when they can do that, then they feel safer in terms of presenting. But anyway, so... You present your circle, the class members will then ask you clarifying questions if they have any. Now, when my students present, they only get to ask three questions. So if it's real particular, now if you're a student in class, and first of all, you don't want to ask questions. And so if no one asks questions, I'm usually the one they turn to and I ask the questions. Since no one wants to ask questions, let me kind of help you get us started. And we talked about the family in the past, and we also talked about the changes for the future. Now, before I show you let's look at mine, and then I'll show you in the video. Here's my family circle. That line is. I didn't do that. That was something we got there in our time. But anyway, I'll point out who is who. Of course, you know DF, that's me. That's my wife, Mary. That's my grandson, Josiah, who's next to my wife, Mary. That's my youngest son, Daniel. That's my oldest son, Matthew, over here. That's Josiah's father. Okay? You see football? I love football. You see the MSW program? NACSW over here? That's my best friend, one of my best friends, J.W. Hunt. He's like family. And in a lot of ways, he's almost closer to me than my brother here, R.W., Randy Watkins. We have different last names, we have different fathers. CF, that's my mother. That's my stepdad. That should be D.W. David. Okay, that's his wife. E.F., that's my biological father, who died when I was a year old. That's my grandfather. That's my grandmother. As a matter of fact, she's 100 years old. Tell you a story. Yesterday was my birthday. My mother called me up last night, wished me happy birthday, and says, oh, by the way, I want you to know that your grandmother is baking your cake. I'm 100 year old. I said, Mommy, make sure you please help her. But anyway, so that's her and the church. The army is over here. That's another one of my good friends, Kevin. He's on the border right now. Kevin is not because, you know, I love Kevin, but I can't find him. I don't know what's going on. Something is going on. We haven't connected with each other, so I'm not sure what's going on with that. Okay. As I said, that's my wife, Mary, and this is her side of the family. That's her sister. That's her mother, her father, who died a year ago. This is her brother who lives in San Antonio, his wife, their daughter. This is her brother who died several years ago. This is her sister and another brother, and these are nieces. What questions do you have for me based upon our service?
Is there a reason for the spacing apart? Like, if someone's distant from you, does that mean that you have less?
No, I mean, do you have a specific question in terms of, do you see space? What space do you see there?
Okay, so Matthew, mm-hmm. is there a reason that Matthew is where he is and Josiah is right next to you? What?
That's a good question. Matthew is not, he's struggling. He's having a hard time with being a father. He's my rebellious one. And as a matter of fact, you see, yeah, Josiah is, he probably at one point in time, he's probably even further away. That's an improvement in terms of where he is now, in terms of closeness. He's just starting to spend time with him, so that's a good point, yeah. I wouldn't think about it, yeah. But that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions?
Who passed away?
Exodus, or for those who passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions that you have about my family service?
Would you put other friends that you've met who aren't as close to you as some of these things? Would you put them right outside the circle?
Wherever you want to put them. And then you explain.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not, there are no rules in terms of what friends you can put in, you don't put in. There's some friends that, I have a lot of friends that I don't put on, I don't have on here. And if I had all my friends, they make me think, well, why did you put those friends and not me? It's a snapshot. You know? Now, in thinking about it, I probably some people I should put on there that I didn't put on there. And I can add that now. Now that I'm thinking about it. But, there are no rules about it. Any questions?
I guess I have a question about technique, if that's okay, or does it need to be about your circle?
About my circle. And then we'll talk about technique, because
okay.
I'm going to show you a video in a second.
I guess one curiosity I had about your circle was, where would Josiah's mother be on the circle? I just happened to observe that she wasn't.
You just noticed that she wasn't in the circle. This mother.
Yeah.
If I added her to the circle, she'd be out here.
Okay.
She's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
She's just not family.
Okay.
And she's not.
Doesn't feel
she's guarded. She's guarded. She's a sweet girl, but she's guarded.
Okay.
So you put your circle between Josiah's mom and Josiah's dad.
You're saying I would? Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. You would put her, you are between.
Yes, I would be.
So football is more important than social work?
That's the MSW program? Now, a year ago, it might have been different. There's been some changes in terms of, your life. Right now, it's football season. All right. Now, what you're looking at is a snapshot now. And you might ask me a question like, a few years ago, let's say, 5 years ago, how would your circle be different than it is now? Wouldn't that be interesting for you to talk about that? Because time does change. And then I tell you what might be different, what might be moving. Now, what you'll understand, your understanding in terms of the dynamic of how my family has evolved over the time, how time has affected that. And then you might ask me questions like, I noticed you have church. It's at the top. I'm wondering, does it mean anything that it's at the top? As opposed to maybe at the bottom? I see church up here at the top, and I see like MSW down here underneath that. Those two mean anything? Nobody asked me that question, but if I were looking at it, I might ask that question. I'm not going to answer. But these are not questions that you have to ask.
Because that's kind of surprising. Army was within the circle. You know, like the desktop. You know, it was within. It wasn't like on the outside.
Oh, absolutely. No. It's in the circle. It's in the circle. And MSW is absolutely in the circle. Also.
So I guess I was a little bit confused because I thought if I had a conflicted relationship, I didn't consider it part of my family. Like, I have a kind of a conflicted relationship with my secular institution where I'm getting my BSL, but I don't consider them family in any way, shape, or form, so I didn't put them in there, although they are a big part of my life and take up a huge amount of my time. So should they be in there or not?
It's up to you. They're there for your family concern. They're there for you concern. They interfere with my relationship with other people. Family. So whether I want them to be or not, they're there.
Okay, because I was thinking of that as more of a systems thing. That was a system that I interact with. But, okay.
They truly have an impact. I mean, I'd probably put them on the page for some reason.
Yeah.
Whether I want to put them on my inner circle or not.
Yeah.
And I'd explain that. I would explain in terms of, you know, how much time I spend with this family. So my question would be, if you spend that much time with them, why are they way out here as opposed to close to them?
Yeah, okay.
Even though I don't want them close to me, you know. And then this brings you to another question. If this is your family circle now, what changes in your family circle would you like to see in your circle? And you started really getting deep. But you see, I have no problem answering that question. Because we're talking about my circle at this point. It allows, see, one thing that the family circle allows me is to be able to talk about things that you normally don't talk about. Talk about my visions and my dreams for the family. And if you can imagine the family sitting there and having that discussion with each other, being that transparent, what it would do dynamically and for them. Questions? Yes.
Do you have them now, when your students are presenting this, do they stand up in front of the class and present it on paper like this?
Yeah, absolutely do. We have an overhead, you know, an elbow, they put it there, and then we show it over, and then they, just like I just did with mine, they do that, and they ask, they get three questions, and they see why it's only three questions. They ask the three questions, and the person that's up there is sweating, and you know, but, and then nobody wants to go, and but everybody knows they have to do it. They have to do it. And once it's all said and done, they say, what is that? And the interesting thing is that the most difficult, and I talk about this because I've been gathering data on this. The most difficult thing that they'll tell you about this is reporting, presenting, revealing themselves. And these are students that they spend time together almost a year together. I mean, our program is different than the traditional program. These people go to every class together. They hang out together. Everything is really neatly and tightly organized. Every class has a class leader that determines who's going to go and who's going to come, who's going to go. I mean, you're talking about responsibility. They are responsible for coming and going. If you're an instructor and you have something to pass out, you give it to the class leader, and the class leader makes sure everyone in the class has it. Everyone knows that they're going to be in the classroom on time and set it up. They're all responsible for that. This is kind of the environment they have. Now, yes, get that to do this, to present this to each other. If you that's how I want you to understand the context of those relationships. So, yeah, this is the most difficult part of the block of instruction I get. Presenting it, they say, but they also say that the best part about it is presenting it as well. All right. Now let's get this video work. And I'm using this... No sound.
Make sure it's plugged in.
First of all, I really want to thank you for
taken the time to come in and demonstrate the need for the family services message and assess the individual in town. I appreciate it. Hi, Amber.
Hello.
Your last name is Goldman, right?
Yes, sir.
Amber, I really want to thank
yeah,
you for taking the time to come in and demonstrate the use of the family service method in assessing individuals and families. I appreciate you doing this. Okay. What I would like to be able to do is, first of all, explain to you the family circle method and how we do it. Typically, when we do family circle, we usually would like to have the individual and the family in present. So frankly, what we typically do is have each individual do a own separate family circle. But since your family isn't here, we will only do your family circle, and then following the family circle, then we will ask you. And I'll ask you a few questions. And I want you to know that in terms of questions that I will ask you, they will always be typically clarifying, what I call clarifying questions. Questions to try to clarify, to get to understand yourself. One of the things that we typically tell family members when we do a family building is that respect of each individual perspective is extremely important. And we don't, as a result of that, we don't challenge the individual perspective, we just learn to appreciate. So, and I'm going to do the exact same thing with you today. We also might ask the individual some questions in terms of family circle as far as if they change it, things they might want to change with the family circle if they're trying to do so. And I may ask you some of those questions as well. The other thing that they may ask you is they may ask you in terms of some visionary questions. Statement questions around in here in terms of your family could be anything in your family that you would like for you, how you envision your family in here. So people might ask you those types of questions. So I might ask you maybe a question like that as well. One thing that I always explain to family members is that one way of doing this is that any question that a family member or anybody that I ask, if you're uncomfortable answering it, please feel free to say that I'm uncomfortable with that question, and out of respect for you, I will leave that question alone, we will go on to the next question.
And that's really important, that part.
Now let me explain to you the family circle program. The family circle is a pictorial depiction of how you see your family. And it all starts with the boundary that we have around our family. And that circle, we typically have a large circle, like the one that I have on the board, that represents your family boundary. And what I like you to do is, we start with that family boundary program, but now what I need you to do is add to that. And you would add anyone, be an individual, it could be a pet, it could be your job, so it could be an activity or organization. Anything that you see as part of your family, I want you to add that to the family circle. And we typically do like adding additional circles.
Okay.
And those circles, like I said before, they might be within your family members, in the outside, however you see it. When I say you draw your family, that's what I want you to do.
Okay.
Do you have any questions regarding the circle?
No, but when I do the circle, do I do circles and their names next to the people, or?
Oftentimes people will put initials by there so they can remember who.
Okay.
That might help you as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you like
to do? Sure. I have a marker for you. So we make sure that everyone sees this as you do, as you draw.
this is my husband and my two children, and this is my work family as well. I left it out because this is a little bit personal, and this are even though I could have a work family, they're not in my big circle because they're not like my personal family, but I work closely with them, and I would consider them my extended family because I do spend a lot of time with them, so that's why I put those people in there as well.
Do you have everyone that you consider part of your family?
Well, I would say this is my immediate family that I consider my close-knit because I have daily contact with these people. I have, you know, the rest of my family, but that would be a whole lot more.
That's fine. I mean, if you could put everyone that you consider part of your family, that would be helpful. That's okay. We have a little time.
Okay. I'm going to go like this for my mom, and then, of course, my siblings. Those would be my siblings. And I guess I could add, like, my neighbors that are very close to me as well. And this is, if I had to say who I could count on as my family, this would be the group of people that I could say I could count. So this is what I would consider my family.
Good comments. Good comments.
Okay.
I guess the first question I'd have to ask you, when you were drawing your family circle, what did that feel like?
It just made me feel and focus on the people that are more important to me, who to say that I could draw my whole family up there, it would be like, oh my gosh, you know, you have a big family, do you put everybody up there? In my case, I put the people who are the closest to me, who, one, the ones I deal on a daily basis, my mom and siblings, my neighbors, because, you know, they are part of my extended family. Like I said, in my big circle, I put my relatives' family, my blood family, and on the outside, I put those that I consider family, but not necessarily my blood family.
And that, how did it feel for you?
I guess it made me focus on who's most important to me and who's had some kind of impact in my life.
Now, just so I can have a better understanding of who we have in your family circle. Now, and I'm just going to point to you since I'm close to you. And here you say you have your mother.
My mother and my siblings.
Now, just to clarify, was there eventually your father?
Well, my father's deceased, so I guess that's why I didn't put him up there.
If you put him up there,
he would be in the big circle as well, inside.
What would you
do? Next to my mom. Yes, we definitely
put so this was your mother, your father, and this was your brother and sister?
My older sister.
Older sister and?
My older brother and my little sister.
And up here, who do we have?
My husband and my two children.
This is
that's my son, and that's my daughter, and that's my husband.
And where are you?
Oh, I didn't draw myself.
Oh.
I thought I was a big circle.
Remember the big circle?
That's wrong. There's me.
This one. Oh, God. And over here,
these are my neighbors.
And up here, who we have?
Those are my co-workers.
These are what I'll clarify. Okay?
Is there any particular reason that everyone's lined up is the way they are in your family? I noticed you have your mother and your father, and then you have everyone like in a row. In
the I have the parents and then and age wise.
Does it speak to anything from the relationship that you have with each other?
And no, not necessarily. I just thought that I'd put my older sister, my older brother, and then my baby sister.
So, just in terms of ranking in the family?
Yes.
And if you were in the family, where would you
be? I would be after the first two.
So you would be in between them?
Yes.
But in your family circle, you were up here, right?
Yes.
This is your husband?
Yes.
And you're, is there anything you interested in anything different about the fact that your husband is up here?
No particular reason. I just didn't want to put it over there. It just looked like it was classic. I just put them, but still together with my husband.
This is your youngest child?
Yes.
And
my oldest child.
And the oldest, same reason that you have?
Yes.
Just hierarchy?
Yes. I guess I didn't realize the pattern. Huh? I guess I didn't realize the pattern I put them in.
It is very interesting. The name, you have the name of the man here in the right corner. And you have your work and up to the top. You need
No, just to separate them. I guess I put them up there because I do spend 8 to 10 hours with them a day, and if you know, those are people that you see every day, you know, you deal with every day. My neighbors, even though they're very close, I see them occasionally, you know, not every day necessarily, but still enough to consider them close knit as family.
The name is don't. They're not. They don't. Their work family is closer to you.
Yeah, right.
You said that your family comes from you in terms of people.
Yes.
And well, before I ask that question, I want to ask this question. Has a kid grown up? Has a family grown up? The way you have your family now, how did your family look different when you were a child, as opposed to when you were a kid?
How did it look different? I'm not sure.
I'm going to stop at the time. Once we're done with it, she would add more people to this as well. And we would also talk about the changes that she would like to see made in her family as well. As we were going through this, you would see that it was uncomfortable for her. She was giving me as little as she possibly could, but she began to warm up as we began to ask questions, and then she began to deal with her own family circle. I only show you that so you can actually see how this process works in terms of the questioning. The question phase. The question phase is just as important as a certain phase of this process. So, the thing that you might want to know, my answer to that was that, you know, so does this thing really work? Let me ask you, how did it feel for you to grow up with them? So, you've had a chance to do it. How did it feel for you? Just a couple of people. Jody says it felt good. What do you think that felt good? What felt good about it?
Well, it's the same thing that you can see where people times get busy and we get, you know, unsecure. Sometimes we forget the support system that we have. Mm-hmm. And so you drop down and then you get to see everybody that you do have to support you and then you can go to for help and assistance. So you can build back up a little.
Mm-hmm. It allows you to see all of your support.
I would say it felt therapeutic for me to put it out on paper, to have the choice to design it the way I wanted to design, and also give you the choice to reveal it to some people, not to others.
Yes.
As I was drawing mine, I realized that actually crossed them out because in the past maybe 3 weeks something changed. And I said, no, that person wouldn't be there now as of today.
Mm-hmm.
And so something changed, you know, just for a reason. And then the other thing I noticed was that I really didn't worry about where people went on the circle and the distance on it. And being a thing, okay, so this is what I'm really thinking about that
relationship. Yeah. Now, you're very deliberate about what you do, who you are. The client won't be. They won't be. You won't explain to them. As you're doing this, we're going to look at circles. We're going to look at how big the circles are. You're not going to tell them all that information. You just want them to draw the circle. And as you looked at that, you noticed what Amber, you heard how big her mother was? Her mother is really important to her. Really important. And you noticed her father was smaller than her mother. I didn't ask that question. But I could have asked that question. So, but those are the kind of things that come out when you do a circle that the person's not even aware of. Anyway, does it increase the individual awareness? I mean, these are the kind of questions that I have. That's the reason I've been gathering data since 2008. That's how long I've been teaching the class, from 2008 to 2011. And what I'm going to show you the results from that, from these in terms of answering these questions, the things that cause the students discomfort. What was most helpful about this process and the use of this instrument? What was least helpful about it? Does it help the individual? Did it help the individual to feel comfortable talking about their family? Because what you want to have something that enhances the family ability to communicate with each other. So does it do that? So these are the questions that led to my data gathering. These are the results. I know this kind of small, so I'll read it. The first line, the first one, in terms of, does it increase the individual's perception of family structure? Does it allow you to see your family structure? As you can see, almost 85% of the students say absolutely it does that, without a doubt. And does it open your eyes to see parts of your family that you never realized that were there before? 43%. Not that large a percentage, but that's important. That does help you to see things you didn't think about. Does it enhance or help you to discuss the question I actually asked them was, does this process help you to be able to talk to a stranger about things in the family that you wouldn't ordinarily do? You see, in this case, almost 50% say yes it does. Percentage of students said it does that. In terms of recognizing your families, again, 50% agree that allowed them to be able to see their family members. Now, we're not talking about a client family. We're talking about their family, within their own family. Does it help them to recognize the family subsystem? And does it help in, do they believe this is going to be something that's going to help them in the future in assessing other families? 85% said they like it. I definitely want to use it in assessing other families. Because one of the things they have to be able to do is understand how to describe the family structure. How long do you have to meet with the family to describe the family structure? A lot. And you actually need to be in the house, at the home to do that. But this allows you to actually see it. And allows you to move things around based upon the way that client described it. And if you get couple of individuals that present it validates how the family structure really is organized. So in that case, these students at 85% said it allowed them to be able to. This is something they definitely want to do in terms of using to assess families. And 72% said it definitely helped them to recognize their family substance. And there are a lot of questions that when you are presenting your circle that you can see. And you're saying, please don't ask me that question. But you know, I give you permission to say no. The problem in some family is that will that person be allowed to say no? And will they accept that? My goal is to be able to help them to be able to allow to establish an individual family. So this is what this process allows that family to be able to practice, be able to do that. 85% said, this is really easy, a really easy instrument to use. I mean, it is so simple to be able to do. Now, all of you can probably go and you'd be the expert in terms of teaching.
The expert?
Yes.
So, in terms of the looking at this or using it for assessment, in that example that you did, that interview, would you look at her circles and I'm thinking that her bones are close, fairly close, because no one was in that circle but blood came. Would that be something that you would ask the doctor, could ask the doctor?
I just observed. I wouldn't, because it's not professional assessment. Mm-hmm. And I asked her if there's something that she would like to change, and she said, absolutely not. I don't want to change anything about it. Then it confirms. So if I'm writing up an assessment, I'd say that the family boundaries are closed in this case. That allows me to be able to see informed assessment.
Quick question. With regards to different cultures, what do you kind of see? Because to her point, that there was that boundary, and the neighbors are outside, the work people are outside, but they're still close to her. So some people would draw that inside, other people would draw that outside. Mm-hmm. So this culture, we have the same from a cultural aspect.
Right.
It's different cultures. I'm just looking.
There is a cultural overlay here as well, in terms of the Hispanic culture. So, and you saw that in terms of the family, in terms of the mother, how big the mother is. Yes. Definitely culture. And in terms of friends, the work friends, the fact that they were on the page, looked to me that was significant. That was big. But it's clear, you're still not family. You're still not part of the inner circle. Because there's something unique about the inner circle that the outer circle doesn't share. These are the things that they identified, they said that most often did allow them to see the family dynamic. They thought that the instruction that was provided was very helpful for them to be able to understand how to engage the family, how to structure it in such a way that they can feel safe. That was something that the student participants thought was really important. Overall, the tool they believed was very, very helpful. It gave them a lot of personal insights. And, of course, again, the instrument being simple and that it shows the structure. These are the things that they thought that was most helpful about. What do you suppose the number one on these couples? These are students. They want to make sure that I know everything I possibly need to know about this. I don't want to find out after the fact. You need to tell me all this stuff up front. You mean to tell me that I could put people on there who are deceased? Well, absolutely. You can do that. Who's part of your family? How come I didn't know that up front? And so as a result of that, some were disappointed in the fact that the instruction, it wasn't clear enough. It allowed them to take too many risks that they really may not necessarily have felt comfortable making. They needed more guidance up front. So that was one of the things that they were really uncomfortable with. But that's something that you really have to be careful about, guiding the person through.
Dexter, I think I need to let you know that we are over.
Okay, one more. These are the things that cause discomfort, and I think that's my last slide. Number one thing that causes discomfort? Showing, right? Revealing myself. Revealing myself. But the number one thing that causes discomfort for you? Most important thing is that in terms of were the students, after receiving the instruction, did they feel comfortable and more confident to go out and assess families? Absolutely. Yes, they did. Now I'm done.
No question.
Thank you. You have one question?
One question, okay. And then I feel I need to do my job, or I'll be uncomfortable. Go ahead.
I'm just curious if you ever, after you're done, do you ever with a client like, my favorite thing, I'm a big Gina Graham girl, and so whenever I'm drawing the Gina Graham, so I love drawing like the double lines for people who are close, the sharp line and the spraggly line, if you're close but conflicted, and then the squiggly lines and the triangles, and I got like a whole wink whack going on when I'm done. But do you ever do that with these? Like, could you start drawing connector lines or triangling or trying to map that out on there, or do you ever feel
the need? I just leave it as it is, like that.
Okay.
And because of their circle, and what we'll do is we may look at how the circle may change over a period of time. That's the difference between the genogram and the circle. Yeah, the circle exactly. Actually looks at the intensity of the relationship. It doesn't do using lines, but this does it with circle. And we're actually literally moving people, and we start talking about, okay, you want to move these people close together? Well, what impact do you think that might have on
We hope that you enjoyed this training. Please remember to take the post-test and the course evaluation in order to receive your CEU certificate. If you have any additional input or questions, please don't hesitate to contact us at the information you can find on our main webpage or email us at info@nacsw.org. We hope that you will consider taking additional courses on topics sensitive to the thoughtful integration of faith, spirituality, and social work practices through our program. Thanks again, and thanks for supporting NACSW.